Welcome to each of you here today. It is so good to see you. We find ourselves in very exciting times. And it's a time that requires great faith, but would you not agree with me that we serve a great God? Amen. Oh, we could do better than that. How about this? I'm going to say we serve a great God and give me a big amen. We serve a great God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'm excited about sharing what God has done, what God is doing, and what we feel like God is leading us to. But before I do that, I need to give a shout out to my campus at Journey Fellowship. You see, you may not realize this, but the past 14 years, we have watched you guys on a screen. And so we've sat in a room and we've heard you laugh when Max Lucado tells a funny joke. And we've heard you kind of laugh when he tells a kind of funny. No, his jokes are all good. Sometimes we would clap with you. Sometimes we didn't know, do we clap? Do we laugh? Like, how does this work? So this is what I want to do today. I want Journey Fellowship to hear you guys. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, hey, Journey friends, and I'm going to point my finger out to you. And at that time, I want you guys to yell, you guys rock. Do you think we could do that today? Oh, man. I'm comparing you to the last service. So when I go back and report who is the best group, this is your chance to prove that you're the best group, okay? So again, I'm going to say, hey, Journey friends, point to you, and you say, you guys rock, all right? Hey, Journey friends. Yes, all right, pray with me. Lord, we're so grateful to be in this place. Thank you for each person here today. You have brought them because you love them. And Lord, open our hearts to the word that you have for us today. Give us ears to hear what you would be speaking to us. You are a personal God, and you have a personal message for each person in this room today. I'm grateful that they made the choice to step into this place today. And Lord, I ask that you would bless them, that you would guide them, that you would speak so clearly to them, so when they leave this place, they know what you have for them, how you're walking with them, how you love them, and how you're guiding their life every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I thought I would begin by telling you a little bit about myself. I've been married 25 years this December. I've raised 4 boys and I have a grandson. Now you're probably thinking, how in the world does that guy have a grandson? Okay, no, I did not get married at 12, but I did get married young. But here's the deal, the other day my wife and I we're shopping for our grandson's 4th birthday. So right now, if you're a grandparent in the room, you need to lock into me right now because there's something that I'm going to show you that's going to benefit you and your relationship with your grandchild. Now, parents, you're just going to have to get over it because what I'm about to introduce is probably going to upset you because you're going to hear this tune again and again and again. I have in my hand something that is a craze right now for little ones. And I'm going to see if you guys can hear this, all right? Ready for it? Come on. All right, listen. If you guys don't know what this is, grandparents, I'm telling you, hop on YouTube because you need to find out what is going on here. This is a crave. There's motions to the song. You give this gift to your grandchild and they are going to be so excited about it. And parents, I love toys with noise. I love to give them to my son who I had to spend his whole life listening to all of his noisy toys. Something like that. And now I get to what? Give them to him. 3 of my boys we have successfully launched, and we have one more in the house, and praise God, we have not had a boomerang. Come on. You guys are a tough crowd. A boomerang child is one that you launch and they come back. You launch and they come back. You launch and they come back. Church, Oak Hills Church, Journey Fellowship is not going to be a boomerang child. When you launch us, we're going to go. We're excited about going. We'll come back for the family reunion, but you could be assured of this. God is moving, and he is doing wonderful things. Like Steve mentioned, I was on staff in the early days, and I took some part and time away, and I came back to the staff in 2016. And there's a verse in Proverbs 13:12 says this, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." This is a longing fulfilled. We are excited about what God is doing. I am grateful to be on this journey, and we are grateful for every single one of you here today. Enough about me. Let's dig into the scripture today. It's going to be in Philippians, so if you have a Bible on hand or a device, open up to the book of Philippians. This is in the New Testament. You find it after the Gospels, after Acts, after Romans, after Corinthians. Here's one way to remember it. Girls eat potato chips. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So you can find the book of Philippians, the third book in the epistles, and follow along as I read from chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So here we have Paul. He's a follower of Christ, and he's recognizing the Philippian church for their financial support of him. See, he was a missionary, and he would go to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Philippian church was the only church who supported his ministry. And so in this passage and in this text, he's wanting to give credit where credit is due. And so I read this, and I immediately thought of Oak Hills Church. You see, like Paul venturing out on a missionary journey, 14 years ago, a group of 70 people set out to launch Journey Fellowship. What was the desire? What was the hope of that? It was to spread the gospel. It was to go in a place that Oak Hills Church had not yet been, and maybe if we plant a campus on the northeast side of town in Selma, Texas, more people who do not know Christ would come to know him. And then it would be a place that those who knew him could gather and they could be inspired and encouraged and equipped to follow Jesus Christ. And it could be an environment that was warm and welcoming as we gathered around and listened to one of the best preachers around, Max Lucado. And so this is what happened. These early pioneers, the leaders had courage and they had faith to send out this group, and there were many prayers and there were many meetings and there were many trainings, and all those things took place and the campus was launched and God began doing a great work. But you know what? None of this would have been possible without the generosity of Oak Hills Church. So I kind of feel like Paul speaking to the Philippian church. I'm Mario speaking on behalf of Journey Fellowship to the Oak Hills Church, wanting to thank you for your financial support over the years. Some of you were here 14 years ago, and you might recall the exciting times that we have found ourselves in. But some of you have just come along on the journey, maybe the past few years or maybe even the past few months. But you know what? Every prayer, every thought, every financial gift that was given over these years has been received and accepted, and we are blessed that we have been able to be recipients of them. Can I share what God has done over the past 14 years? I'm going to give you just a few statistics of what he has done. They're going to show it up on the screen. But there's been around 778,639 people who have stepped foot at Journey Fellowship. When we think of the next generation and empowering and equipping them, 45,942 students have stepped in and learned that God has a plan for their life and that they can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we cannot forget our little ones. Almost 125,000 of them have gathered and learned that they have a Father who loves them, who cares for them, who's gentle with them. Now, this next one warms my heart. I hope it warms yours. But there's been 669 baptisms. People saying, I have made a change, my life, because of inviting Jesus Christ in, and I want to make that declaration to a world looking on that I now am a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, maybe you're in the room today and you're like me, or what I used to be like. I used to struggle with numbers. Oh, why do we count them? You know, God's going to bring them. Why do we have to focus so much on that? And this is what God taught me one day. Every number matters, for it represents someone, and that someone matters to God. So every person who has stepped foot in this place, on all our campuses across the city, every single one of them matters, and it's been our desire, it's been our hope, it's been our calling to point them to Jesus Christ. Not to mention, though, the countless marriages that have been saved. The countless number of prodigals who maybe have wandered away from the faith, but when they came back in and heard the message of grace, they began to walk with God once again, and he's using them again. Or maybe the financial situation of a home that was devastated and falling apart because they came into a body of believers who walked together with them, and they made a change to surrender their will to God's will, and things started lining up. The list goes on and on and on of what God has done. I think you get the point. God has done an amazing work at Journey Fellowship, and it would not have been possible without your generosity, without the faithfulness, the prayerfulness of the Oak Hills Church family. I cannot agree more with Paul when he says, "What I desire is that more be credited to your account." So Oak Hills Church, your gifts, your support over the past 14 years, they've been a fragrant offering. They've been an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. The once Blue Bonnet Dance Hall, now some of you may not know this, but Journey Fellowship meets in one of the oldest iconic honky-tonks in South Texas. I mean, all the big musicians were there, and the truth is, some of you used to go there. Yeah. But hey, we know you have been redeemed. But that's what God has done in that place. What was once used for wild entertainment is now being used. The Holy Spirit working with followers of Christ, and we're seeing lives changed every single day. Because of because of you, Oak Hills Church, the body of believers who gather here, who've gathered here for 14 years, God has been able to do an amazing work. But we're not done. We're not done. The harvest vision, this idea that we had one church on many campuses spread throughout the city, was a wonderful thing, and it has played a wonderful purpose in the life of Oak Hills Church. We've put a beachhead in all these areas of town, but then we started asking the question, what would it look like if we launched these campuses to independents so that they then could be a campus who plants churches? I'll never forget the very first meeting when your pastor, Max Lucado, came in and said, what if we become churches who plant churches? I cannot tell you what that did inside of me. I was sitting next to your now lead minister, Travis Eads, and he and I, we about jumped out of our shoes in excitement. And here we are a year later. Here we are. All of this is coming to be, and it's an exciting faith journey that we're on, but it's not even done there. It's one thing to launch a campus to independence, and that's a beautiful thing, and we're going to do that and celebrate that, but then we become churches who plant churches, and the gospel, the kingdom, begins to expand and begins to grow. It kind of reminds me of a story. One time I'm sitting around the campfire with my boys, and they kind of wanted to know, what would happen, Dad, if we did this to the fire? And then I started thinking, maybe I shouldn't share that story, because it might give someone in the room an idea. And when you put fire and boys together, you may not always have a good idea. And so I thought about, well, maybe it's like a wildfire. It starts with a spark. The wind blows, and there's wood, and it begins to build. And the next thing you know, you have a small fire, and this small fire begins to grow. And because of the wood and because of the items around it and the movement of the wind, next thing you know, it's a wildfire that is uncontainable. This is the potential of the harvest vision. Yes, it's one thing to launch a campus to independence and then become churches who plant churches. But the exciting thing is you can see this spreading because here's the truth. Our world needs hope. It doesn't take us long. In the last 24 hours, we hear news of this often. It is crumbling. It is filled with hatred and pain. But you see, the church is still here. The glimpse of hope is still here, and it's in you and it's in me. As we follow Christ and as we begin to see through his lens and get the heartbeat of God the Father, we know that we have the opportunity to be used by God to bring a little hope to someone who's around us. So what does that mean for you today? You watching online or you who have gathered here today, what does it mean for you? Maybe I'm looking at the next church planter. Maybe I'm looking at the next volunteer who's willing to say, I'll be a part of that pioneer group. I don't understand it all. It seems to be a little bit scary, but I'm willing to take a step of faith and I'm willing to step out and to see how God might use me. Maybe you've been blessed with finances. And you've sowed into the kingdom just like the Philippian church sowed into Paul, and you've been faithfully giving to the work here. Maybe your calling is to continue to give to the work as this gospel of hope spreads. Everyone in this room matters. God has given you a story. God has given you giftings. God has filled you with his Holy Spirit, and his desire is to use you to provide hope to a world that desperately needs it. You see, there's two groups of people here today, those who need hope and those who have hope. If you're here today and you need hope, it's found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe your world is falling apart. Maybe you're beat down with depression. Maybe the choices you have made in your life, they're just wreaking havoc on it and everything around it. Can I encourage you today, friend, that true hope is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today, most of you probably are. You're a follower of Christ. You've received his forgiveness. You've tasted his grace. You have a hope that no one can take away from you. Can I encourage you in this? May you become a hope dealer. May you become someone who is asking God to lead you to conversations, to situations, to encounters, that you would be able to share the hope that you have in Christ. You see, this is one of the reasons the church exists. This is one of the reasons for the harvest vision. You, me, we together as followers of Christ, we have the opportunity to point people to the one who saves. We have the opportunity to point people to the one who can change lives, to the one who brings joy and peace and hope. And so your play in the harvest vision is just as important as the launching of campuses, because God desires to use you in this great harvest. And no, it's not in a hay field, but it's in your workplace. It's in your neighborhood. It's in your school. For many of us in the room today, it's even in our families. There are people in our families who do not have the hope of Christ. But here's the deal. This is what I've learned in being a follower of Christ. There's a world looking in on us, and they want to see, how do Christians deal when tragedy strikes their lives? How do Christians deal with the ups and downs of life? And oftentimes they're watching and waiting, and there's going to be an opportunity. As you're faithful to God, as you're asking him to guide and lead you, there's going to be an opportunity. One day they come up to you and they say, how do you do it? And you get to say, it's not me. It's the hope I have in Jesus Christ. And so it allows this movement, it allows the gospel message, the good news, to spread. Matthew says it this way in chapter 9. It's Jesus speaking. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. So I'm going to ask you today, are you ready? Are you ready, worker of God? Are you ready, the one who carries the hope of Christ within you? Are you ready to step out in faith? And yes, sometimes it takes courage, and yes, sometimes I know it's a little bit awkward. But if we put on the lens of Christ and the heart of God, we begin to see everybody around us as loved, valuable, and many of them needing the hope that you carry each and every day with you. As I wrap up our time today, on behalf of Journey Fellowship, I'd like to thank you. Max, I'd like to thank you for your vision and your heart and your faithfulness to this body of Oak Hills Church. Travis, thank you for the opportunity for the Journey campus to be here. We hope that it's been a morning where you just get a little taste of what's going on in little old Selma, Texas. There's energy, there's excitement around this, and we're ready. And we know that we're not going to be one step ahead of God. We know that we're not going to be two steps behind Him. We want to be right with Him, following Him, because it's about expanding the kingdom of God. Each of us play a role in that and have the opportunity to expand the kingdom of God. Now, I was thinking about this. There is one thing that you have to thank Journey Fellowship for, and that's your worship leader, Chris Vaughn. Because Chris Vaughn used to be at Journey, and we went ahead and said, okay, we'll release you to Oak Hills Church, and you'll go and you'll bless them. So we receive that, and we say, you're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome. We're glad that he is your worship leader. It's just cool how God does things, and his economy and his way is so different than ours, but he's so faithful. Oak Hills Church, may you be a people, continue to be a people of generosity. May you continue to be a people who aren't satisfied with just coming here. This is a big part of it. We gather, we get encouraged, we get inspired, but the truth is you leave this place and you have 6 days to live out the life of Christ. And we know there's ups and downs, and we know it's not easy, but with Christ guiding and directing us, you have the opportunity to continue the impact that you've had for years and years and years. May you never lose that, Oak Hills Church. May you be a church who seeks to bring true hope in Christ to a world who desperately needs it. May you be a church who equips those who gather here week after week to remind them that the mission field is 6 days a week, and it's in the workplace, in the community, in the schools. And may you be so filled with God's love that when this community thinks of Oak Hills Church, they see a church who's filled with the hope of God, who's excited about what he's doing in their lives and what he's doing in their communities, and we see the work of God continue through you. Wouldn't it be cool in 10 years if we looked back, and not just Journey Fellowship and our other campuses, launching campuses, but Oak Hills Church, Crown Ridge, wouldn't it be cool looking back in 10 years if you've launched 5, 10, 15 churches all spread, San Antonio and beyond. Church, we're not done. There's work ahead, but we serve a faithful God and a good God, and he will fill you with hope when you place your trust in him. Would you pray with me? Father, we're so grateful to be here. So grateful for the Oak Hills Church, their faithfulness, the courage of leaders, the financial contributions. Lord, may that never change. May they be known as a generous church, because a generous church is speaking the very heart of God. You are a generous God. Thank you for the faithfulness of the leaders here. Thank you for the courage to send people all around this city, and may that always continue to be in their pulse, in their heartbeat, in their passion. But Lord, we're so grateful for the hope that you provide in Christ. We know that we probably couldn't make it another day if we didn't have that hope breathed into our very lungs through the Holy Spirit whom you promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I believe that Journey Fellowship's gonna be fine. Don't you agree? Well, I invited Max and Travis to come up as well just to be a part of this blessing. We're going to have an opportunity to pray a blessing over Mario and all of Journey Fellowship, Don and the whole team. It's our custom here, and if you were able to extend the hand while we say this prayer blessing. Come on, let's gather in here. Well, Father, how is it that you are so good to us, that you're so kind to us, that you regard us? We're your creation. You care for us every moment. And Father, you've cared for us these last many years as a multi-site church. And we're excited. It's a little sadness, but we're excited to see the health of the Journey Fellowship campus, the soon-to-be Journey Fellowship Church, led by Mario and Don and by all of those who are in leadership there. So we thank you for them, Father. We are knowing and trusting and believing that what you've done there is only an inkling of what you're going to do there, that they will be a church that plants churches. And so, Father, thank you for the wisdom and the vision that you've given to Mario, that you've given to all of those leading the Journey Fellowship campus. And thank you, Father, for the vision that you planted in the heart of the Oak Hills Church, the leadership here, to be a multi-site church and now to be a sending church, to launch campuses, not for our sakes, Father, but for the sake of the kingdom, so that you would be made famous in all the world. So it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.